Well, I just wanna remind you our contract for this building. We extend it to 5 years, so we will not be in limbo. What we're gonna do next year and then the year after that? But at least we have 5 years that we're gonna be guaranteed that we're gonna be here. Amen. And because we have a meeting and we said that, well, maybe we need to have a 1 year contract and extend it and then do it again the following year or whatever. But then when I brought it to the attorney, and the attorney said that whenever you have a lease contract, it's always in favor of the landlord. You don't get any favor there at all. All he wants to know is if he get paid. Yes, your money. So I said, what kind of entity are you? I said, well, we had been incorporated here in California as a nonprofit. We had been determined by the federal government as a 301C. That means your all the givings is under within the law of the federal government. And so our state, the state recognizes us and the federal recognizes us. And what else did he say, Sister Rose? Forgot. And since you are a corporation, he said that the landlord could not get hold of your ranch or anything else that you own. They can only get hold of the money of the church or whatever assets of the church. And it's good thing because he said that they only require your signature. They don't require your board to sign it. It's because their properties or your properties are not attached to this corporation, to this church. Unless you donate your property to this church, then that's another story. So before you donate your land or your house, just pray in spirit. Amen. So we're okay for the next 5 years, because I don't want to say that every time you give you a 1 year contract, I cannot assure you that the landlord, you say that I cannot assure you that you're gonna have the following year, because if there is somebody that will come in here and do you want to rent it for 5 years, I'm gonna give it to them. Because 5 years is better than 1 year. So that's kind of, if we want 1 year, we'll have a contract for 1 year. If we are not assured that the following year we're going to have it, then we might end up in the, you know, in the entrance of the freeway, that they will see ICFC is homeless. And if each one of us probably will have that sign, I don't know, maybe somebody will have mercy. Right? Amen? So that's the status of our contract here. Okay, now we're going to go on to our lesson for today. And could you please open your Bible to Galatians? Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. And we are towards the end of our lesson for the epistle of Paul to Galatia. And we're going to read verses 11 to 18. Are you all there? Galatians chapter 6. Verse 11 to 18. And are you all there? Okay. We're going to read it. Verse 11, it says, see what large letters I use as I write to you with my own hand. Those who want to make good impression outwardly are trying to compel you to be circumcised. The only reason they do this is to avoid being persecuted for the cross of Christ. See, that's the only reason. Not even those who are circumcised obey the law, yet they want you to be circumcised that they may boast about your flesh. May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. What counts is a new creation. Peace and mercy to all who follow this rule, even to the Israel of God. Finally, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ with your spirit, brothers. Amen. 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 Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you for leading us all throughout this epistle of Paul to the Galatians. And Lord, as we finish up this lesson, Father, we pray that you will bring all those things that we have studied into our remembrance, that we may be able, Lord, to walk worthy of you calling us your sons and daughters of God. And Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit that illuminates to us, that show to us, Lord, the things that we have not seen before. And Lord, we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Now we are towards the end, and this passage concludes our study of Paul's letter to the Galatians. Because Paul's heart was pounding with concern about the Galatians, believers, that their churches, that they allowed the false teachers to come in and try to tell us, tell the Galatians that their salvation, not only that they received grace, salvation through faith to our Lord Jesus Christ, but they still have to do the ritual that the Jewish people are doing, that their salvation has to be added with the ritual. And the churches were in the verge of deserting God and destroying their witness, not their witness for Christ, not only in the Galatian, but they start to go outside of their mission. And then usually Paul dictate his letter to a scribe, and when he was through dictating the letter, he closed the letter with a brief blessing and his signature. But note that he did, as he closed this letter to the Galatians, he took the pen himself and he closed the letter with a strong exhortation and defense to his ministry and of the gospel. And when he said that, put it in a letter that says, I see that the large letters I have written, that means with emphasis, that means the large letter is maybe it's a bold letter. It doesn't mean that it's a long epistle, it's a long letter, but it's because it has only 6 chapters. Whereas the Romans, which is mostly related, almost the same as the Galatians, that's a 16 chapters. Galatians is only 6 chapters. It's short, but it's pertaining to the believer in Galatia. And he said that this is, I see with the large letter I have written with my own hand. See, he closed it, the letter, with a brief blessing and exhortation with his signature, and then the exhortation to defense, but he declared no uncertain terms. He said that the believers, the ministers, and laymen alike are to walk boasting, not on their own work, but it's the work that is coming from inside out. But most of all, they should be boasting other than the cross of Christ. So Paul comes to this end of this letter and he takes the pen and he doesn't conclude with a list of 12 important things to remember, nor five, but there's only three things that he, but just one thing that matters to Paul. It's the cross of Jesus Christ. So Paul shows how centrality of the cross relates to three different things. First, the centrality of the cross relates to the false teachers that he has written these letters. And then the second one, the centrality of the cross relates to him, to Paul himself. And then finally, to all those who trust in Christ Jesus. So as we dissect this 17 verses, we're going to look at three things. But we're going to do one as a verse 12. That's the main reason why that the centrality of the cross is about the false teachers, because they have one reason to be ashamed of, is that in verse 12, the title of my message this morning is about, do we have it? A new creation. But we're going to focus first the centrality of the cross. The point why this cross, the life of Paul is around this, the cross. The first thing is that the one reason to be ashamed of is that the false teachers, in verse 12, it says, those who want to make good impression outwardly are trying to compel you to be circumcised. The only reason they do this is to avoid being persecuted for the cross of Christ. Not even those who are circumcised obey the law. Yet they want you to be circumcised that they may boast about your flesh. Remember, the false teachers, remember that they call themselves Judaizers. They want the Galatian believers to follow the external requirement of the law to somehow to add to their salvation. And Paul repeatedly emphasized that the work of Christ is upon the cross and the grace of God, right, is sufficient for salvation. Circumcision and about the diet, about the days that you go is worship God, and about the dress that you put in. God, Paul says, those are not the important in the life of a believer. So the false teachers, they oppose Paul and the gospel he preached. There is a major stress was that the person has to undergo the basic ritual in their lives. And they made circumcision necessary for salvation. If a person is circumcised, he was well on his way to being saved. And Paul attacked this position and made a strong charge against the false teachers. He charged them that with being driven by the worldly motives, because he said their only reason why is that because they avoid being persecuted for the cross. Not even those who circumcised obey the law. Even themselves, they did not obey the law. So the false teachers sought to gain the approval of their peers and escape persecution. They sought the favor of men over the favor of God. Many of the earliest ministers of the gospel were priests who saw Jesus Christ as the Savior of the world. However, they accepted only as an addition to the law. That being saved to the grace, they only accepted like an additional to the law. So they say that Jesus Christ came primarily to show how God wants us to live. Therefore, Jesus Christ was added to the law. The law was still important in approaching God. We were to approach God through both the law and Jesus Christ. That's what they emphasized. Therefore, it was unpopular in the ministry of that day to proclaim that Christ alone was the way to God. That's why they insist that that should be the law plus the grace. And the minister who proclaimed Christ alone were persecuted through ridicule, mockery, abuse, and rejection. So a minister who preached salvation through the cross of Christ alone was thought to be destroying both the law and the established religion. And that's why Paul was in trouble. Because he preached the gospel by grace and grace alone. That's why the Bible says the only way to heaven is through Christ. And Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Amen? Therefore, anybody that are preaching that by grace alone, you're going to be persecuted. Amen? And what he had to say is a strong lesson for teachers of every generation. The cross is the real problem for those who wants to indulge their pride. It's a problem for those who have a desire for others to see them as successful. Because the cross is pretty embarrassing. I remember one time we were walking. We used to walk every 3 miles with Sister Rose and I. We walked in that San Bernardino Avenue. One time, there is this car driving so fast. And in my heart, and I said to Sister Rose, boy, I wish they were be caught. See, the first thing that will fail in your heart is about the law. Right? Because it's the law that you drive that place in there at 45 miles per hour. But that guy driving, I don't know how fast is that, Sister Rose? More than 60. See, when you are walking in a fleshly desire, the first thing that you do, I wish these people will be caught. Right? Because that's what the flesh wants. It's the desire of the flesh that, but you know, you yourself are not even, you're not, sometimes you're not even observing the law. Because sometimes when I pass the red light, but nobody tells me that I should be persecuted. But that's what the law does. The Bible says that, Paul said that those who are once the believer to be circumcised are not even following the law, their own law. Did I read it right, or I just Pastor Ed's theology here? It says, those who want to make a good impression outwardly are trying to compel you to be circumcised. The only reason they do this is to avoid being persecuted for the cross. Not even those who are circumcised obey the law, right? That's what you have in the Bible. In your Bible, verse 13. 13. They do not obey. But they compel these other people to obey with them. But they are not obeying the law. Right? And that's Paul's argument with the false teachers, with the Judaizer. See, so I believe that the Jewish Judaizer, I don't know. Jewish, I just put Jewish, I could not pronounce Judaizer. Or false teachers. The false teachers concern what the Jewish, their old synagogue, thought of them hanging out with unwashed Gentile. If they could only say to them, see, these Gentile Christians are living as good as the Jewish because of Jesus. Amen? So that's the first thing. The centrality of Paul's gospel is around the cross of Jesus Christ. Right? Amen? And the false teacher should be ashamed. I should be ashamed when I'm making a comment about that guy driving 60 or 80 miles because I myself, I disobeyed the law. Right? Are you with me? Amen? So, the first of all is the reason that the false teacher should be ashamed. Number two, are you still going with me? Okay. Number two is that one reason that Paul boasts about it, in verse 14, it says, "May I never," oh, that's right there, "as for me, may I never boast about anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of that cross, my interest in this world has been crucified, and the world's interest in me has also died." That's the New Living Translation. I like this one. Amen? So Paul's contrast of boasting with the false teachers is their work, the work of the flesh. With this only boast for Paul is the cross of Jesus Christ. Paul doesn't boast in his heritage. Though he tells the church at the Philippi that he could claim reasons to, he boasts in his success as an evangelist. He doesn't boast in his status as an apostle in the church. No, he boasts only in the cross for Jesus Christ. For Paul, as should be for all of us, the cross was nothing to be ashamed of. For as he wrote the church at Rome, it is the power of God for salvation. The cross, Paul wrote to Rome, is that the cross is the power of God for salvation. The cross may look like defeated, but it is a victory for you and me. It's a victory from sin, over the law, victory over the grave. And he doesn't simply that he accepts the message of the cross, that he can live with it. He reveals in it. He boasts in it. The cross is the centerpiece of his life. The place where justice met grace. The blood-stained, hated Roman's instrument for torture had become a precious to him. It was the place where his life has been transformed. Amen? So one reason to boast is that Paul only boasts to the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And finally, number three, one thing that counts for Paul, it is neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. What counts is a new creation, peace and mercy to all who follow this rule, even to the Israel of God. See, the cross is the source of the transformation that Paul calls it, new creation. And again, a contrast is shown between the way of faith and the way of the law. Paul says, it doesn't matter if you are circumcised or not. What matters is that you had been transformed from inside out. Amen? That song that we have, transforming us from the inside out. And who does do the transformation? Is it I who transform my own self? And that, I think that's a powerful message or lesson that we have this morning with Sister Myra. And because it shows everything is that it's not me. It's not me that's transforming myself. Because I could not do it my own self. Because even Paul said that the things that I want to do, I cannot do it. And the things that I can do it, that's I do. So that means our own self is weak. We don't have that strength to change our life. And that's why we need the what? We need the Holy Spirit to transform our lives. Right? Amen? So it is one thing that counts, because all of this circumcision, like, it means anything. What really counts is the new creation. Amen? So, but Pastor Ed, how do you do that? Because it's not about reading the Bible or reading the Bible for the whole year or going to a Bible study or going to church. Those are things that you should do. But then, when doing a transformation, it's the work of the Holy Spirit. Amen? It's just like Brother Paul and I would like to have a business. Right? Brother Paul, you want to invest with me in a business? See, what happened is that there is a detergent in the market today that you know, their detergent, you can see that in the advertisement, that their detergent can do better than your detergent, right? And so Brother Paul and I will invest our company, that we will do a detergent that's only the only detergent that can cleanse you. Now, when you have that kind of advertisement, you're in deep trouble, right? Because because you're the only detergent that can cleanse. How about the other one? Because the advertisement is that your detergent is better than my detergent. So now, we come in with Brother Paul and I investing a detergent that's the only detergent that can cleanse your laundry, right? Amen. Are you with me, Brother Paul? So now we are in deep trouble, because the only detergent, you got to be kidding. That's what he's saying. That's the only way to heaven is Jesus Christ. Right? No one can boast about Jesus Christ, and that the only thing that counts is that you believe on Jesus Christ. The only thing that counts is that your message, your business, no matter what, you're gonna be challenged, you're gonna be persecuted. Amen? And that's the difficulty with the difficulty of legalism of these days. If he had presented the gospel as only the competitor of the laundry detergent in the market, and that if you put in our business, Mr. Clean, no other detergent except Mr. Clean's detergent, that's where the problem with Paul's message have encountered. What's he saying? That your legalism is worthless. The grace of God is the only way to heaven. Are you with me? Amen? So, one thing that counts is your faith on Jesus Christ, the peace and mercy to all who follow that straw. Amen? And it's the work of the Holy Spirit inside of us. How do you know that you are saved? How do you know that you are a new person? Does anybody? How do you know that you are a new person? Nobody? It is that the new person, anything that is count creation, that's a new role, and the new person calls a new creation. We only know that you are a new person because you have been transformed from the inside out? And how do you know that you have been transformed from the inside out? Anybody? You guys have a class this morning. It's because there is the Holy Spirit that's working inside of you. There is that fruit. Then we go back again to the fruit. Because that's the only evidence that you are a new person. You can come and tell your neighbor, hey, you know what? I received the Lord Jesus Christ at ICFC this morning. But then, if our action to our neighbors is that when the leaves on the other side, when your tree, the leaves of your tree comes to the other side, and then your neighbor get mad, and then you come back and response that with the fits of rage or unkindness, then there is no transformation inside of you. So that's why, how do I know? Because God will bring situation in your life that you require the fruits of the Spirit inside of you to bear fruits. It's not a self-effort. It's just yielding to the work of the Holy Spirit. Right? That you will bear fruit. That the love, the joy, the peace, the patience, the kindness, and goodness, and faithfulness will come out inside of you. Amen? And then in verse 20, where 17, it says, from now on, let no one troubles me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice the mark. Did you notice that in your Bible? The marks of Jesus Christ. The marks of Jesus Christ in my body. Paul is saying, I bear in my body the mark. The Greek word is stigmata, meaning scar marks. And I remember back in the Philippines, my friend, he has some number of carabaos. And if he buys, he will put an iron with his initial, like in my initial ELF, he will put that in the fire, that iron with his initial. And what they do, they stuck it at the hips of the carabao. That means that the initial is right there. And that's what Paul is saying. He said, the marks of Jesus Christ is all over my body. And said, what are the marks of Jesus Christ in Paul's body? I think we can look up in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23-27. Are you all there? Second Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23-27, it says, he tells us, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool, I am more. In labor, more abundant. In stripes, above measure. In prison, frequent. In deaths, often. Verse 24, from the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. Verse 25, 3 times I was beaten with rods, once I was stoned, 3 times I was shipwrecked, a night and a day I have been in deep. Verse 26, in journey often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in wilderness, in perils in the sea, in prayers among false brethren, verse 27, in weariness and toil, sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fasting often, in cold and nakedness. See, those are the marks in Paul's body, the marks of Jesus Christ. Those are the things that's what, how I'm glad I'm studying that we you know, Sister Myra is teaching us, because not because you are saved, not because you are going to church, not because you accept Jesus Christ, your life is so smooth sailing. But Paul said, Apostle Paul, he has this mark of Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ went through this too, and so with Apostle Paul. And he and Apostle Paul encounter all of these marks of Jesus Christ in his body. And it doesn't mean that you are a Christian, a believer, you don't have to encounter this mark. You go through with this. Amen? So, those are the stigmata was in Paul's body. Verse 18, and it says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. So, in closing, I just want to share with you about the title of our message is a new creation. He said, there is a building, an empty building, that one day the guy said, the prospective buyer, the agent brought this to this building, and he was looking for a building, and big building that's been abandoned, and the seller, the agent, when he brought the buyer of the building to the abandoned building. The abandoned building is the windows are broken, the door are gone, and the floor it's all a mess. So the sealer, he said, you know what? We're gonna change the window, replace it with a new one. The door, we're gonna put a new door, and all of this trash all over the building, we're gonna clean it up. The buyer said, you know what? You don't have to clean it up, because I'm gonna fix this building the way I want it. Right? And the buyer said, just tell me how much is the price. And that's exactly what Jesus Christ did for us. Our life is a mess. And sometimes we come in, you know what? I wanna fix what I did. I'm gonna go with a new life. But the buyer said, you know what? You don't have to do that. I'll be the one to fix the floor. I will be the one to fix the windows. I will be the one to fix the doors. And that's exactly what Jesus Christ did for us. You don't have to do it. I'll clean it up. I wash you. As you allow the Holy Spirit works inside of you. Amen? I like to play golf, because you have time to fellowship. And Brother Ken, I think he set me up with Pastor F. Tendero. And as we drive, Pastor Bishop, man, I got honor to drive the Bishop last, when was that, Brother Ken? Friday? Thursday. I have the honor to drive Bishop Tendero, Brother Ray. And I don't know if you know Bishop Tendero. He is the head of the Philippine Council of Evangelical Churches in the Philippines. But not only that, he is the head of the World World Evangelical Alliance. I drive him. So we were driving, he said, Pastor Ed, you think that there's a golf in heaven? I said, I don't know about that. He said, he gave me a scripture that, what's that scripture that the things I want to do, I don't do it. But the things that I don't, I do. Because he said, you're trying, you wanted to put the ball in the hole, but you cannot do it. Because that's, so I said, well, that's pretty close. But I said, you know what? I answer him. Look at 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Oh, I love this. Are you there? 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Are you all there? Verse, where is that now? Verse 1. Now verse 3. Are you there? Huh? Are you all there? This is why this is very good, Brother Ken, for a gopher like me. He says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. Amen. So he said, that's pretty good, because if you're not comforted in the golf, the game of golf, Brother Edwin, is frustrating. And if there's nobody, I'm glad that Pastor Armando comforts me all the time. So it has to, for 5 years, for 5 years, that guy has been comforting me. And that's why I believe there is golf in heaven, Brother Ken. You need comfort. And the good thing is that, it's not you. Have you noticed it? It's not you. Listen to this again. It says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort that we ourselves, have received from Him. You see, that's why we cannot comfort others unless we receive from God. Right? So it's not a self-effort. It's not by Bible study, Sister Myla. It's not by going to church. It's by yielding to the work of the Holy Spirit inside of us. Isn't it comforting that you don't have to do anything? All you have to do is yield. Allow the Holy Spirit to work inside of you. What does it mean? God will bring, ask the teacher, God will bring situation in your life that it requires kindness, that it requires perseverance, that it requires suffering, that it requires love, all of those. And we think we have 6 points to do this, all of this. No. He's just yielding to the work of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Because He will bring situation in your life that require those things, and that it will bear fruits. Amen? So shall we stand? So if I asked you, what did you learn from the book, from the epistles of Galatians? Anybody? Huh? To bear fruit. Fruit. What else? Amen? Yield to the Holy Spirit. What else? Anybody? Huh? Sowing and reaping. Dang, I'm glad I, at least somebody. Huh? A new creation. What else? Anybody? Amen. Those are the things. And this morning we learned that how do you have wisdom? How can you have a wisdom? How many of you wants wisdom? Man, if you only have wisdom, you can put it in the bottle and sell it to the market. It's there, brothers. You're going to be a millionaire today. Because wisdom, all you have to do. What is wisdom? Is the ability, Sophia? Wow. In Greek word, you know the Greek word of wisdom? Sophia. Would you believe that? Ask the teacher. Huh? Sophia. What does Sophia mean? Wisdom. Wisdom is the ability to apply what you have understood, right? Is wisdom. Amen. Hi. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you this morning. We thank you, God, for allowing us to study the epistle of Paul to Galatians, because there's something that is hidden that we have not seen before, or we seen it but we forget, and that you are reminding us. Holy Spirit, remind us every day of our life that you will be the one, Lord, that as we yield to your work inside of us from the inside out, Lord God. Oh, Father, we thank you. We yearn for your presence this morning. And as we allow you, Father, as we stand before you this morning with my brothers and sisters, Father, we pray for those who have closed their heart to you, Father, this morning, that you will open the door, open the heart of every believer, everyone, Lord, my brothers and sisters, to open their heart to the work of the Holy Spirit inside of us. Oh God, that because we want you, Lord Jesus. We want you to get involved. We want your Holy Spirit to get involved in our life this morning. Because we are tired of mediocrity, Lord. We are tired of just sitting and we're not, no power, Lord God. But with the work of the Holy Spirit inside of us, Father, we pray, Jesus, this morning, that you will allow us, Lord. You will allow the Holy Spirit to work inside of us, Lord God. Oh, Jesus. We pray for this church, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah. We're not concerned about the numbers, Lord, but we're concerned of the fruit of the Holy Spirit that is inside of us, that we may start bearing fruits, Lord. Not with our own strength, but the work of the Holy Spirit inside of us. Jesus, we're calling up. We're calling you, Lord, this morning. Jesus. We're not afraid of persecution, Lord. But when it comes, Lord, help us to stand, Lord. And Father, bring something, Lord, in our life that we may exercise the fruit of Spirit in our life. Thank you this morning. Thank you to the work, to the Galatians, Lord. Their challenge is the false teachers in their time, that in the verge of believing them, Lord Jesus. And Father, we pray, Lord God, you will not allow the false teachers to come in our life. But when it comes, Lord, we are ready, Lord God, because of the situation of the Galatians, Lord. They encounter the false teachers, Lord God. And Father, we thank you. We thank you, God, for protecting us, Lord, from any kind of false teachers, Lord, that will come in and There's us out, Lord. There's us now, Lord God. But Father, we thank you. Thank you for the cross, Lord Jesus. Which is, we are more than victorious, Lord God. And Father, we thank you today. Thank you for the work you have done in each one of our lives. And Father, we praise you. We love you, Lord. And Father, we thank you, God, that for allowing us, Lord, to stay here for another 5 years. Because you have proven in your promises, Lord, 16 years, you brought us this far. And to take us out here, Lord, and Father, we thank you. Thank you, God. For this opportunity, Lord, that you have given to us as a church. Thank you, God, for allowing us, Lord, to help those kids that has no parents, Lord. And Father, we thank you for the parents that take care of them, Lord God. And thank you for Pastor Manny and Sister Mary Grace, Lord, for overseeing those pastors, Lord. We cannot go home and do our ministry, Lord God, but Father, we thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to help them and to be in partnership with them, Lord. And Father, most of all, Lord, thank you for the believers in ICFC, Lord. Thank you, God, for their faithfulness. And Father, we thank you for their prayers and support, Lord God. May the blessings of God fall upon each one of them, Lord. For whatever this soul will reap, Lord God. And if we are not be weary, Lord, we are not weary in doing these things, Lord, that the fruit will start to grow. And Father, we thank you. Give us, Lord, wisdom of what we're gonna do next, Lord, after Galatians, Lord God. And Father, we thank you. We praise you, Lord. We thank you, God, that we can bring our tithes and offerings to your storehouse. And you bless, Lord. Bless them, Lord Jesus, 100-fold. Not only 5 or 10, Lord, but 100-fold, Lord God. And the peace of God that surpasses understanding will come to their life, Lord. And we all ask of this, Lord, in Jesus' name. And everybody said,